for, you know, with anyone who can make use of it and without any judgment about how it gets used and that kind of thing. All of that was really fascinating to me. And so I didn't think I could get a job in open source. I figured I would doing like .NET accounting applications or something. And then I just kind of, well, it wasn't just luck. I also worked my butt off, but you know, basically being in the right place at the right time resulted in this crazy career trajectory that I would never have imagined when I was in school. So that was really awesome.
Nice. So Angie, do you want to share some advice for people who would be looking to get kind of into the tech field? What would you recommend to them?
Yeah, so a couple things. First of all, I would recommend having a reason to do that. That's not because I can make money. Because working, especially if you're programming, there's a lot of like bashing your face against the table and this kind of thing. And it's good to have an underlying reason. So for me, I learned programming because I was involved in this online community with a bunch of other queer people. And it was very early days in the internet and nobody knew what each other looked like or anything about us. So I built this little profile website where everybody could upload a picture and they had like their, you know, web page and a little bio about themselves and where they're from and that kind of thing. And there's a map and stuff like that. Very early days before there were CMSs and that kind of stuff. But it was great because I had this reason to do a thing. And then through that was my channel and my vehicle for learning everything else around that, you know? So I would recommend picking something that you're passionate about in your life and then building your tech trajectory around that thing. You'll have a much easier time than if you just go to a code school because someone told you that was good for your career and that kind of thing. It's really hard to stick with a lot of the annoyances about the tech field if you don't have a real burning passion to be there. The second thing I would recommend is going to events and meeting people in real life who know what you're talking about when you say words like Drupal or Ruby or whatever. Because that can be actually really amazing and unlock a lot of doors as well. So I've made numerous friends through the Drupal community. Like for 10 years, I've had friends from the Drupal community. We like show each other pictures of our kids. It's like amazing. And that human connection really helps as well. When you get stuck, you need help. You have somebody you can talk to. You have people who can feed you job information that's coming down the pipe. Because often, you know, we're human. We look for people we know to fill a job before we go out to random strangers. So that can help you that way as well. And I think another piece of advice I'd have is if you can, do some open source coding, if you can. I know that's not accessible to everybody for various reasons, financial and, you know, raising kids and all kinds of things. But if you have the ability to do that, I would get involved because an open source project, especially a larger one such as Drupal, is a great opportunity to be exposed to a lot of different things. Like, you know, within the scope of the Drupal project, we're doing things like artificial intelligence. We're doing, you know, mobile application. We're doing, you know, web stuff, geo encoding, like anything you can think of that you could do on the internet. You know, we're touching it, and accessibility, usability, everything. So it's a really great opportunity to get exposed to those kinds of things in a real world setting. And also to kind of build up your reputation as a contributor, you know, as the more, you know, comments and, you know, code and stuff like that you have behind your name, the better off you're going to be and that kind of thing. So I guess those would kind of be my three tips. And yeah, just find something you're passionate about, go after it through tech that way. Go meet some people who know what the heck you're talking about and then try to get involved in an open source project in some capacity.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. So the next round is the lightning round questions. These are short questions, short answers. So cats or dogs?
Cats.
Okay. So suddenly the walls of this room go up and you are on a stage. It's a talent show. What talent do you show off?
Okay, so I have two sets of index cards. To the left side of the audience, I pass them out and I say, write down an emotion. To the right side of the audience, I pass out a card and I say, write down an animal. And then I put them together, shuffle them up, and I draw a lusty llama or a confused beaver or whatever. And yeah, that's cartoons. That's my...
So improv drawing.
Yes, right.
Of animals. I love it. That sounds like a lot of fun. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Oh geez. I don't know. I would say something like, you know, going back and erasing my past mistakes. But a lot of my past mistakes have helped make me who I am. So,
yeah, past mistakes are kind of underrated. Yeah. They're very useful.
Maybe I'd say the superpower of like flying so I could get places on time more often. That might be useful. Yeah,
I like that one.
Yeah.
So I've changed this question a little bit, customized to you. What is your favorite video game?
Okay, so the video game I'm playing right now is called Etrian Odyssey 5. And I love this game because it's a dungeon crawler and it is like super hard. Like you will die over and over and over again. But what I love about it is that it's just like when I was a kid and I used to play like Dungeons and Dragons on NES, mm-hmm. and I had like all these reams of graph paper sitting on my living room floor drawing out the map. There's an actual map in the bottom of the DS that you're drawing as you're exploring the dungeon, and that's like a game mechanic in the game. Yeah. So it's like you die a lot, you're a cartographer, and you know, you get to like beat up monsters and stuff. So that's my favorite game.
That sounds pretty rad.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Tell me a fun or obscure fact. It can be about anything.
Did you know that red peppers have more nutritional value than green peppers?
I did not know this.
I did know it because my daughter loves peppers. And so, you know, she asked me one time, why are red peppers red? And I was like, I don't know. Let's go to Wikipedia and figure this out. And so I don't actually remember why they're red and not green, but I do remember reading that they have more nutritional value. So there you go.
Yeah. The more you know. Where's your favorite place to visit?
I love Portland, Oregon a lot, actually. Woo-hoo. Yeah, that's like one of my happy towns. It's got Ground Control, which is the big video game arcade. It's got tons of my old punk rock friends in there. Last year, I really, really wanted to avoid Valentine's Day. Like, I can't tell you how badly I did not want to have to endure Valentine's Day. So there was a Drupal conference going on in Mumbai, India, the week after Valentine's. So I flew out February 13th through Beijing and then landed in Mumbai on February 15th. And due to the international dateline, I got to avoid it altogether. So it was amazing.
That's just like travel magic right there. Very nice. Very well done.
And that's India, like, was also amazing. So,
what is your favorite holiday?
My favorite holiday is definitely Halloween. Because anytime you can like go to strangers' houses and demand free handouts is just like the best.
If you could travel back in time, what time period would you visit?
I would rather travel forward in time, you know, like after like a lot of these social things are happening, you know, like it's an interesting time that we live in. I know we don't get political, but it feels to a lot of extent like we made a lot of progress in the past like 10, 15 years and mm-hmm. then that's being eroded right now. So I kind of just want to get out of this whole situation and fast forward a few years and see how it all ends up. But I'm a little bit nervous to see which fork in the road is going to take. So, yeah.
Interesting. If you had to choose one food to eat for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Peanut butter and jelly. I could totally eat that 24/7. There was a...
Does it need bread? Is it a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or just peanut butter?
Sorry, peanut and jelly sandwich is helpful, yes. Although I could probably double fist, you know, spoons or something like that. Yeah, that or pizza are two foods that I could eat for the rest of my life. So
very nice. So wrapping things up, Angie, you've kind of already given us a bit of that kind of advice for how people can get into tech. But is there anything you'd like to share with fellow parents about raising kids who are excited about STEM?
Well, something I'm trying with my daughter, I don't know how this is going to go, but like, so my daughter is super into Barbie, which is not remotely what I wanted for my daughter, but you know what, it's cool. Like, she's into all kinds of stuff that was not necessarily my thing, and it's her thing, and that's cool. So they've progressed Barbie a bit, and so Barbie now is various jobs, and one of them is a video game programmer. So it's like this video game programming episode of Barbie where she gets, the spoiler alert, she gets sucked into the game and shenanigans ensue. But anyway, so Lily was super into this idea of like Barbie being a video game programmer. So I found this program called Scratch Junior, which runs on an iPad. And I, you know, I did like a half an hour of it overnight, you know, just to kind of know enough about how the interface worked to answer whatever questions she'd have. And I sat her in front of that and it was amazing because she was like, I would explain, okay, there's a cat and here's the things you can do with the cat. You know, you can make him go forward or backwards or whatever. And she just whipped around on that thing and it was so cool. cool to see those things go together. So I try not to push it too much, because I know when my parents were like heavily, like my mom's a nurse, and anytime she'd be like, oh, nursing, 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 I'm like, I'm not going to do that, you know, which I would be a terrible nurse, honestly. Much better as a computer programmer, so I try to like gently nudge, you know, that kind of thing. But if you haven't seen this program, it's amazing. And even kids as young as 4, you know, or maybe even earlier, I don't know, can actually get around on it awesomely. And so I'm really hoping, we'll see how it goes. Again, light pressing, but I'm going to like try really hard to kind of put that in front of her more often than not, because it's again, a great way to incorporate something they want to do anyway, and then programming as a side benefit, you know?
It's like,
you can make a cool interactive story about this cat, huh? You know what I mean? Instead of like, why don't you learn JavaScript, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I think presenting technology and STEM as a whole kind of as a means to fulfill things you already want to do, and kind of meeting kids where their interests already are, is really important.
Absolutely.
I also think we've kind of moved past the princess versus scientist era. Like, you can't be into Barbie if you're going to be into science, which is great.
I hope so.
I am all about Princess Bubblegum. Shout out to Adventure Time. it's a TV show. Look it up. where Princess Bubblegum is a ruler of a kingdom, and she's also a scientist and is a really amazing innovator. And I really love that as a kind of a parallel to where we are now. Like, you can be feminine, you can be a woman, you could be into princess stuff, and you can build your own interactive design stories, right?
Yeah.
Or you can be Barbie and a computer programmer. I think that's a good place to be, you know?
Absolutely.
Meet them where their interests are and show them how STEM relates to it.
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for the parental advice.
Thank you.
And thanks so much for being on the podcast today.
Yes, thank you for having me. This was a blast.
Yeah. So. Is there anywhere online that people can connect with you or your work that you'd like to share?
Sure. I'm on Twitter as Webchick. I also have webchick.net, although I haven't updated that in an embarrassingly long period of time. It's a Drupal site. Why would I update it? No, anyway. Probably Twitter is the best place. I have to warn you, it's a lot of Drupal stuff, although there's also like pithy puns and pictures of my kid and stuff like that, if you're
very
nice. That kind of thing.
So, very nice. And we'll have a link in the description.
Cool.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode and want to keep up with all the latest news on women in STEM, you can visit us online at wwest.ca. There, you can subscribe to our bi-weekly newsletter, connect with us on social media, and more. From everyone at West Coast Women in Engineering, Science, and Technology, thanks for listening.
Did you know the Simon Fraser Public Interest Research Group, aka SFPERG, has been leading social and environmental activism on campus for 40 years? SFPERG is student activism, by students, for students. Do you have a vision for a brighter future? Are you passionate about changing the world? Visit us at www.sfperg.ca. That's www.sfperg.ca to learn more about getting involved today.